Welcome to Your Legislators. I'm Anthony Morneau. Our guest on the program is District 39 Democratic State Representative Rudy Martinez, who represents parts of Grant, Doñana, and Sierra counties. Representative Martinez serves as Vice Chair of the Transportation, Public Works, and Capital Improvements Committee, and he is also a member of the House Appropriations and Finance Committee. He joins us from the Roundhouse Studios in Santa Fe to talk about issues he is working on this legislative session. Representative Martinez, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Obviously, it's a short session, 30-day session that is almost wrapping up. I'd kind of like to hear your thoughts on how you feel the both sides are really coming together in regards to the budget. Obviously, that's a major focus of these 30-day sessions.
The budget has been the main focus. We had about $797 million of new money, which is good, but mostly the focus was on our educational system, starting with the early childhood program that was created. The funding for that program was about $320 million to start the early childhood programs across the state.
I know that was a major issue. Obviously, one issue you've been involved with has been mentoring programs for the Children, Youth, and Family Department dealing with early childhood care. I'd like to hear your thoughts on why you felt that issue needs to be addressed.
That's a pretty important issue that we need to focus on, really addressing the needs of our young children and starting them out to lead them in the right direction so they can be successful in their education years from pre-K through high school.
Obviously, that's gained a lot of attention from the governor's office, from leaders at the state legislature, and also, of course, the lawsuit that New Mexico is facing. I'd like to talk about an issue that has gotten a lot of attention this legislative session, and that has been Senate Bill 5. Now, obviously, this extreme firearm protection order has gained a lot of attention, the red flag gun bill that cleared the Senate, and as we tape this, is before the House. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this legislation. Do you support it?
It's been a very challenging piece of legislation. I know it passed the Senate. It's over on the House side. I have not been able to thoroughly study the bill and any changes that took place. Changes to the bill.
This is an issue. Now, obviously, when this legislative bill was presented, it was a piece of legislation that aimed to take firearms away from individuals who their family members or law enforcement deemed may be a danger to themselves and others. Now, in the Senate, that was amended to where only law enforcement could petition to have firearms taken away. It sounds like you're kind of on the fence with this issue at this time as we tape this. Why is that?
I have a concern that, when the bill was first presented and not seeing the changes that have taken place. But I am a proponent of the Second Amendment and certainly don't support taking away weapons from individuals unless in an extreme case. However, I have to make my decisions on my constituent thoughts. The majority of my constituents are not supporting this bill, so I'm kind of leaning that way as well.
Okay, so you feel that this is not a popular bill in your district, is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay, so right now it seems like you're leaning towards not supporting SB 5. Am I correct on that?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Now, I want to move on and talk about an issue that faces many folks in your district. Some lawmakers have spoken up about that issue, and that has been addressing the need to take better care of veterans in the area. Veterans Services. Some have said that the Veterans Services in the area may have not enough people really available to help provide and reach the mission of Veterans Services in New Mexico. Your thoughts on that issue?
Well, I really appreciate that question, because we, having served on the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee during the interim, certainly that's one of the topics that comes up in every meeting that we've had across the state. It seems like the thought is that the VA system is broken. There have been some changes made where if you cannot receive an appointment with the VA within a certain time frame, that you can go out and seek health care elsewhere. But yeah, there's so many needs across the state for veterans. One of the major issues is the transportation. Getting these veterans to healthcare providers has been an issue for quite a number of years. We did introduce myself and my fellow veterans on the House side, introduced a piece of legislation to create a task force to study the needs of transportation for veterans. The University of New Mexico put together the task force, and they've come up with a pilot project, which I've visited with the governor, and the governor has directed a couple of the cabinet secretaries to meet with myself and Department of Transportation, whatever agency may be involved, to come up with a plan to provide those transportation services so veterans can reach their healthcare providers. But there are certain areas that we're lacking. For example, the veteran service officers. And certainly grateful for the veteran service officers that are working out of Las Cruces. And they having to travel to Grant County and other counties to provide those services for veterans. So we need to, this year, the legislature approved five additional veteran service officers that are going to be placed across the state. But personally, I feel that we need more of those services down in southern New Mexico, along with the transportation issue, to get those folks to their healthcare providers. We're seeing more and more of the World War II veterans that are coming out and asking for those services, Korean veterans, Vietnam veterans. And my concern is mostly these young men and women that are coming back from the Middle East, and their experiences during their time of service and the services that they may need in their local areas.
Do you feel that this is going to be something that is going to be addressed this legislative session? I mean, obviously, I think many of us are aware of the sacrifices that veterans have made over the years here in New Mexico and leading up to today. And to have this big of a shortage, what does that really say about state government and how they're caring for veterans in our area?
Well, it comes down to funding. Unfortunately, that's the main thing about any type of legislation that is presented, is how do we fit it into the budget? Working with the governor, we'll be able to make some positive advances in trying to help our veterans. But as of yet, working with the Secretary of Veterans Services, working with them as well, and certainly trying to find physicians that would be open to the idea of helping veterans in the local veterans clinics, such as the one in Las Cruces. We have one in Silver City. There's a number of them across the state. But it seems the challenge seems to be trying to find mostly primary care physicians to assist these veterans.
Now, you bring up an issue of health care. Obviously, New Mexico is no stranger to having a lack of health care providers, especially in our rural areas. You represent a largely rural district. I'd like to kind of hear your thoughts on how you feel that is being addressed in this legislative session. We hear a lot of talk about New Mexico having all this money, having excess revenue this year, but is it providing enough for rural health care in the state? Now, obviously, we have news recently of Gila Regional Medical Center having financial issues and problems, which has to concern many in your district. What do you think about this issue, and how can the state really move to resolve this issue?
Well, that you're speaking specifically about the hospital in Grant County. It seems to be having some challenges as far as their financial stability. So it is a county-owned hospital, and I have not had conversation with the county commissioners as to what direction they might be looking at, but certainly we cannot afford to lose that hospital. You know, they provide a great service for cancer patients, and also the other health issues there. It's just a matter of trying to align with the financial end of it. For example, the things that make the money for the hospital are the surgeries. It seems that those services are dwindling. Behavioral health issue is also a challenge there. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a change, and I'm not suggesting that change has to take place from the top, but it certainly needs to be revisited to make sure that we don't lose that hospital, whether it be through management company coming in to make sure that it goes in the positive direction. I am not a proponent of selling the hospital, but that's a decision up to the county commission.
Yeah, I know, but it represents a focal point of such vital care for so many in that area. We've heard stories about how the cancer care has undergone changes there in that area as well, and how folks had to travel very far to get the services while they're trying to figure out that episode. So I'd kind of like to hear your thoughts on some things you talked about. What would the impact be if that hospital was not around and providing services in the area?
Well, we've seen the results of not having a healthcare facility. Before the Hidalgo Medical Services came into play, folks down in Hidalgo County had to travel over 100 miles to see a primary care doctor. And we certainly don't want to see that happen in Grant County. If that facility were to close, the other option would be to travel to Las Cruces, and that's over 100 miles as well. Mm. So what are we doing to make sure that we don't? That's something I'm going to have a conversation with the Secretary of Health and Human Services Division to see if there's any options that we can provide to help that particular facility and not have it closed.
Do you feel that your legislation that you're involved with in regards to the rural healthcare tax credit could really make a difference? If so, why?
That is an important piece of legislation. In fact, as soon as I finish with your visit, I'm headed to the tax committee to introduce a piece of legislation for occupational therapists and physical therapists for rural New Mexico. That's just one tiny piece of the whole puzzle, but we certainly want to make sure that these smaller hospitals continue to survive, whether they become a critical access hospital where it's limited on the number of beds, but certainly the services of the cancer center, which is now under the direction of the University of New Mexico, they have the experience, they have the major cancer treatment center in Albuquerque, so this is a branch of it. But certainly we need to make sure that those services stay in the Grant County area, and because that service helps folks from the surrounding counties as well. We need to make sure that we help that hospital as much as we can in whatever way we can.
Yeah, you brought up something earlier that I wanted to follow up on and talk about, and that is the issue of behavioral health. Obviously, New Mexico has many challenges with this. We've had many statistics that show New Mexico is not doing well when it comes to the suicide rate, ranking some of the highest in the nation. We've also seen how New Mexico ranks in regards to substance abuse in the area. How big are the challenges of behavioral health services and substance abuse in your district? I know there's been some changes. We've had some facilities open and close. Where do you think it is right now, and what are the greatest challenges facing those issues?
And that's a great question. We have had testimony by the Secretary of Health and Human Services Division, the Secretary of Health, Secretary of CYFD, the Secretary for Aging and Long-Term Services. These individuals have come together and created a consortium specifically to work on the behavioral health, mental health issues, which I think is headed in the right direction. The settlements have taken place with the majority of those agencies that were accused of fraud and were found that there was no fraud. They're slowly trying to come back to provide those services.
And those agencies got paid out $10 million a piece, I believe the number was. So, I mean, in regards, you were touching on the comeback, how things are looking right now. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, I believe that specifically in Doniana County and Grant County, those services are coming back. The unfortunate thing that happened when we lost our behavioral health system is many of these providers had to seek employment elsewhere, and some of them have left the state. I don't know if they're willing to come back, but that's an issue of finding the qualified providers to be employed and helping our residents of New Mexico for behavioral health, and more specifically the southwest part of the state.
I'd like to talk with you about another issue that some folks have highlighted in Silver City that gathered some news, and that was the loss of recycling services in the community. Now, this is kind of surprising because if we just think about 6 years ago, this is a community that was passing a plastic bag ban. Now, I'd like to hear kind of your thoughts on, have you had conversations with folks who are concerned about the loss of recycling in the area? And I know there has been some folks talking with state lawmakers about what the state can do to maybe help provide recycling services for communities that may be losing theirs, like Silver City.
Well, I was, to be honest with you, I was kind of surprised that when the announcement was made that most of the recycling process was going to be eliminated. And it was mostly an issue of cost. There's still opportunity to recycle, say, cardboard and some aluminum, but the rest of the recycling program is not in existence anymore. And I think that's an important thing, not only for the environment, but also educating our kids that we need to do something and recycle as much as we can. But there was some conversation of some legislation to try to enact the recycle programs across the state. Yesterday in transportation, we had a presentation by the Department of Tourism on the litter problem that we have across the state. And this could be something that could tie into the recycling process.
As an elected official, I'd like to kind of hear your thoughts on, are you planning any meetings or conversations with folks in the area or at the state level to really see how you could advance that issue?
I certainly am willing to have that conversation with the municipalities and those that decision makers in those areas, so we can certainly move towards reintroducing the recycling program, especially in the Grant County area.
Now, another issue that I'd like to talk with you about that has been brought up this legislative session, and that has been in the issue of the state tax on Social Security benefits. Now, as a representative of an area that a lot of folks do enjoy retirement or retiring to from other communities, what are your thoughts on this issue in regards to the state taxing Social Security?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, and by the way, that bill was tabled in Tax and Rev a few days ago. The issue and the concern is the impact on the state budget by losing that revenue. I support that because we see that lower income folks on the lower end of those receiving Social Security struggle as it is. So we need to find a mechanism to assist those folks.
There's been some concern by folks pushing this legislation that the state of New Mexico could be facing major trouble with folks who maybe don't even have enough retirement savings as it is. So having this tax is like another burden on them, what they say. Any thoughts on that issue?
Well, the conversation has been that, you know, we've already paid our taxes and we've already paid into Social Security. So the question is this, as some folks have mentioned, is it a double taxation on what is received from Social Security? I know there's other states have different formulas on taxing Social Security, but it's something to be really considering, especially on the lower end.
Now, we just have a couple of minutes left here, but I want to talk with you about an issue that's been brought up and reported on in Silver City, and that has been about area small schools concerned about loss of funding due to legislative action at the state. Your thoughts on the issue in regards to some of the smaller schools losing funding?
Having conversation with one particular small school in Grant County, which is in the Cliff area, which is part of the Silver School District, and discussing those issues with staff from the Legislative Finance Committee certainly brought a bit of an education for myself. What I understand is whenever their funding is being reduced on the small schools assistance, there'll be additional funding injected into the Silver Schools budget, or the SAG, to make up that difference. So they're not actually losing the entire amount of what the school assistance program was providing. So it's kind of like a balanced approach where they lose some on one side but gain on the other.
Do you feel that the communication between the state and education officials has been well enough for these small schools so they can be prepared for it?
I think at one point the conversation between those two agencies was not well presented, but I think now that discussion has taken place, I believe that it has been brought out, and most folks understand that this is what's going to happen.
Okay, Representative Martinez, unfortunately we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Your Legislators.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, but one bit of tidbit news.
Okay.
Last night, the basketball game between the Senate and the House. The House represents the Aggies.
Uh-huh.
They were successful. They won the game last night, so that was great news. And the best news was that over $36,000 were donated towards the cancer program.
Okay, thank you for that update. That happened this week, obviously an annual tradition there during the legislative session. Representative Rudy Martinez, thank you again for joining us on your legislators.
Thank you.